Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture comes from Genesis, chapters 1, verses 20 through 25. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle, creeping things, and wild animals of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good.
How great is it to have Ivy as our worship leader? And did you feel like the birds were especially singing when you were saying that? I thought they were. I was hearing them loud and clear. Each Sunday when we gather for worship, one of the essential things we do together is give thanks to God. Now, some weeks that's easier than others, right? But it's part of what we do. It's part of who we are as people of faith. It reminds us in this mixed up, challenging, joyful, fretful, delightful, complicated world of what we have received to give us joy or peace or love or meaning or even just strength enough to get through one more day. And today as we gather, giving thanks, most likely we are giving thanks for all kinds of different things. Do you have something that you're thankful for today? What kind of things are you thankful for? The beautiful weather.
Our children.
Ivy. That anthem was beautiful. And having Brenda with us today. Ron's additions to some of the music. What else?
Good health.
To be here. Right. How much of a blessing is that? All kinds of things that we give thanks for. And on this blessing of the animals Sunday, we are mindful of our gratitude for all of the critters in our lives, past and present and maybe even future. And expanding that out a little wider, we are thankful for critters in general and all of God's created order that is a part of the web of relationship that we share with all living things. I came across a Meister Eckhart quote that I think pretty much gives me permission not to preach a sermon today and you permission not to have to listen to one. Eckhart, a German theologian and mystic, once said this. He said, "Apprehend God in all things, for God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. Every creature is a word of God. If I spent enough time with the tiniest creature, even a caterpillar, I would never have to prepare a sermon. So full of God is every creature." Every creature is full of God, a book about God, Eckhart said. To behold Diesel or Keoki or
Piper or Spike or Sammy or Abby is essentially a sermon in and of itself. And our scripture reading that I shared from Genesis this morning reminds us of why this is true. It's a section of scripture that's plucked out of the first of the two creation stories. Some of you may know about that, and it may be news to others, but there are two creation stories at the beginning of Genesis, not just one. It's kind of fun to take a look at those, the similarities and the differences. One of the differences is that this first account is where we hear this language of affirmation about the goodness of God's creation. God creates, God gazes upon God's creation, and God says, "Wow, that's good." The rector at the Episcopal Church down the road just introduced me to this book called Big Mama Makes the World. And it's a wonderful telling of this first creation story. It starts like this. I'm just going to read you a little bit of it so you get the flavor of it. It says, when Big Mama made the world, she didn't mess around. There was water everywhere, and Big Mama saw what needed to be done all right. So she rolled up her sleeves and went to it. Wasn't easy either with that little baby sitting on her hip. Didn't stop Big Mama, though, not for a minute. So there she is. Light, said Big Mama, and you better believe there was light. Dark, said Big Mama, and there was the dark, just as big as the light. You two got work to do, Big Mama said. Don't be fooling around none. Then she looked at the light, and she looked at the dark, and she looked at that little baby looking at the light and the dark, smiling and cooing, and Big Mama said, that's good. That's real good. That's how the first day went by. And that refrain, that's good, that's real good, continues throughout the book, just as it does in the creation story in Genesis. This is how the fifth day of creation goes in the book, a section about some of the critters being created that we covered in our scripture reading this morning. It'll sound familiar to what Ivy read. It says, lots of folks would be plenty pleased, but Big Mama, she doesn't quit a job till it's done and done right. Big Mama looked at all that water and earth and trees and sky and sun and moon and stars, and she said, awful quiet down there. Better have some whales. Better have some birds. Better have some fish. There they are. That's exactly what happened, all right. Pretty soon there were more whales and catfish and mockingbirds and crows than a little baby could shake a stick at, which a little baby could do if a little baby wanted to, since Big Mama had already made all those trees full of sticks. Big Mama looked at all that action and she said, that's good. That's real good. That's how the fifth day went by. I think that's just fun to say, don't you think so? That's good. Maybe I if I say that's good, maybe you could say that that's real good part. Do you want to practice it? Yeah. So if you hear me say that's good, you say
that's real good.
That is real good. You guys did great. I thought we'd have to practice that a time or two. You did really good with that. And that refrain,
that's good.
Perfect. Not only accurately reflects the Bible text, it's not only delightful, but it's profound and meaningful as well. Theologian Marcus Borg said the creation story is strikingly world-affirming. And isn't that true? Because in a world where we might look around and see at first all that is extraordinarily messed up or broken or downright bad, and we all know there's a fair amount of that out there, this passage reorients us to the reality that our beginnings, our genesis, our heritage is good. It reminds us to look through the lens of goodness first,
to say, maybe even out loud here and there, that's good. Real good. Because God is the author and creator of it all. And while this refrain about the goodness of creation is one of the differences between the two creation stories, a piece that is similar, that is consistent between the two accounts, is that we, as human beings, are given the task and the responsibility of tending to God's creation. We are stewards of that creation. We are here to delight in it, of course, but we are also here to protect it, to take care of it, to love it and nurture it as a part of God's good creation. So on this Sunday that we call Blessing of the Animals, we are reminded to celebrate God's good creation of all the animals, even the creepy crawly ones, and we are reminded of our responsibility to care for those animals in every way that we can. And this dual notion of loving and appreciating animals, along with the knowledge of our responsibility toward them, has found a place in religious history and tradition over many, many centuries. And that's good. Just, am I boring you?
I'm just tired.
Just to give you a few examples, Mahatma Gandhi once said, "The moral progress of a nation and its greatness should be judged by the way it treats its animals."
Yes.
That's good.
Absolutely.
The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, had a deep love of animals and a desire to protect them. He spoke and preached about how animals suffer the consequences of human sin. And he talked about how animals would be a part of God's new creation of the kingdom when it comes, which sounds pretty close to saying that animals go to heaven, I think. That's good. St. John of the Cross wrote about the healing nature of being near God's creatures. It reminds me of Pat and Frosty. In a poem called "A Rabbit Noticed My Condition," he said, "I was sad one day and went for a walk. I sat in a field. A rabbit noticed my condition and came near. It often does not take more than that to help at times. To just be close to creatures who are so full of knowing, so full of love, that they don't chat, they just gaze with their marvelous understanding." That's good. And of course, as Eric mentioned, Francis of Assisi, known as the patron saint of animals and the natural world, held a deep reverence for all of God's creation. Francis was a wealthy young man who early in his life had an encounter with a person who was begging and to whom he gave everything that he had. He went on to go into military service and was a prisoner of war for a period of time and survived a significant illness. He was eventually led to embrace a life of poverty and Christ-like living. Others began to follow, and the Franciscan order in the Catholic faith tradition was founded. And for Francis, nature was the mirror of God. It was a reflection of God. One thing I learned this week is that Francis is credited for creating the first living nativity scene with live animals and all. He so cherished all of God's creation that he spoke to his siblings, brother sun and sister moon, brother wind and sister water. There's one account about Francis when he was traveling with some companions, and they came to a place where there were many birds in the trees on both sides of the path. Francis said to his fellow travelers, "Wait for me while I go preach to my sisters, the birds." And the story goes that the birds surrounded him, not one of them flying away. And this is why you often see St. Francis portrayed as holding a bird in his hand. That's good. And so it's close to the feast day of St. Francis that churches often hold a blessing of the animals. And the truth is, we don't do it because we feel they are in need of a blessing. We do it because we recognize what a blessing they are in our lives. And we want to acknowledge that and say thank you. And there's a lot that we could say about how our critter companions are a blessing in our lives. As Francis said, they are indeed mirrors of God in so many ways. But perhaps the ultimate way they mirror the divine is through their expression of unconditional love. They love us, accept us, forgive us in a heartbeat, no grudges harbored. Some of them offer us ridiculous, over-the-top greetings each and every time we see them, even if we step back into the house for a moment or two after leaving because we've forgotten our keys. It kind of reminds me of the father in the story of the prodigal son, the one we talked about a few weeks ago. He was unable to contain himself, to keep himself from running down the lane to greet with wild abandon the son he thought he had lost. If our dogs could unlock our front doors, I feel certain that they would do the same. Others of our critters ground us in different ways, like that rabbit in the field, reminding us by their beauty, by their quiet presence, by their comedy, by their affection, that we are held in the mystery of something greater, that we are connected to life in a way that can heal and enrich and restore us. That's good.
That's real good.
So we come to this day of the blessing of the animals, grateful for our pets who have been a part of our lives, past and present. We are grateful for the chance to catch a glimpse of the divine in their unconditional love. We are grateful to find reflections of God in all of God's creation, in brother sun and sister moon, in brother wind and sister water, in the whales and the catfish and the mockingbirds and the crows, in the creepers and crawlers and runners and jumpers and diggers and divers, in you and in me. We come to this day to say, along with God, that's good. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious and almighty God, we are reminded on this day of the goodness of all of your creation. We bask in the beauty that surrounds us, and we pause to feel the sunlight, to sense the breeze, to hear the birds, to rejoice in the sounds of people and critters and life around us. We thank you for the knowledge that you created us out of love and that you look upon your creation and see all that is good. We know, O God, that your love beats in every heart, and you have created and given every breath, and we are thankful. We lift up the joys and the concerns that we come with on this day and ask that you would be with each one who is in need. We pray for loved ones and dear ones who are on our hearts and in our minds, who are in need of your healing presence and your loving grace. We are so grateful, O God, for the animals among us. We are mindful of those who have companioned us in the past, and we lift up in our hearts and in our minds the names of all those sweet family members who have gone before us, those that have enriched our lives and made a difference in our families. We are thankful for our animal companions who are with us now, and we pray that you would help us to love them and to care for them in the many ways that they love and care for us. We are thankful for all of the creatures of this world, and we confess, O God, that there are many ways and many circumstances where our actions lead to distress among animal life. We are especially mindful of the recent oil spill and the distress of sea life, and pray for the well-being of all, and for our waters and the ocean. We are so grateful, O God, for your work that is among us, and we give thanks for those who care for and are stewards of our environment and all of the creatures around us. We ask that you would help us to be mindful of our first calling, to be stewards of your garden. Help us to embrace with love and generosity that calling, and to make a difference to each one we encounter. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.